would I tell you, speak to you about the God who spoils us. I'm about to tell you a story. Not to ask you for your sympathy. I know it's tough sometimes for people to stick with me because I have some weird idea. And sometimes I make some statement, those who knows me knows that I do not mean by any chance to offend anybody. But I want to settle the background and get the thing straight from the get-go. I don't need anybody's sympathy. And when I say this for one simple reason. I've got a God. Are you with me here? The only sympathy I need on the planet is from my God. The only approval I need in the world is from my God. Nobody else. So the reason I'm telling you this story is to illustrate a principle, not to ask for your sympathy. Your sympathy is not going to do anything to me because I am not a museum. Museum lives off the past. I live off the present and look forward for the future. So whatever happened on the past is what under the bridge. When I was a child, I was not allowed to go to school. My stepfather, God bless his soul, said that I had to work to help to raise the family. So I start selling things on the age of 7. And here am I, 9 years old, seeing everybody going to school, all kids my age, all the kids in the neighborhood, going to school. And I wanted to go to school at the age of 7. I couldn't. I had to work. At the age of 8, I couldn't. At the age of 9, seeing kids going to school every morning, and I am at the bus station, central bus station, selling things, it sometimes broke my heart. So one day I said, if there is a God, like people say there is one, I wish you could do something for me to go to school. The excuses that I had that I couldn't go to school, number one was I had to work to help to raise the family. Everybody else was the child, and I was the only one that wasn't the child. I was adopted. In other words, I was son of my mother, a product of a rape. But she met this guy with whom she lived all her life, and they had 4 kids. So being the outsider, per se, of the family, I had to work to help to raise the kids. And in 1967, 68, 69, life wasn't quite easy as it is today. Today, if somebody says, well, I can't find a job, because you're lazy. Or you have done something to irritate the Lord and he's an adversary against you. Anybody that don't have a job can go to a McDonald's and get a job. Or they pay only $7.50 an hour. It's better than having nothing. Well, I remember clearly. I left home 4 o'clock, went to the milk distribution center, pick up a big case, plastic case, with 24 liters of milk. Over there we sell by liters. And people buy 1 liter in the morning, 1 liter in the evening, because on those days refrigerators wasn't something common out there in the country. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Yes. So I picked up, at the age of 9, 24 liters of milk, which should be the equivalent of roughly 8 gallons, was in my head, milk, 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 milk! Milk, 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 milk! People would open their door. Milkman! Then they look, milk boy. Here we come. Give me a liter. Gave them a liter of milk. They gave me a buck, which was like the equivalent of 10 cents American money. Well, by 6:45, I'm done with the milk. Go to the milk distributor, pay the man his money for his milk, and whatever change I kept on the pocket to take home. And then I would pick up the ice cream little cart, and I go to the school to sell for the kids that are getting into school. And many times, I wish so bad to be in school. You know, seeing kids 9 years old reading, and I knew money, but I couldn't read anything. So I cried out to God, not even being a believer yet. I said, if there is a God, like people say there is, I wish you would do something for me to go to school. Not only the first thing I had to work to help the family, but the second thing is my stepfather would say, I can't afford to buy you a uniform. On those days, we were under the military rule, so if you want your kid to go to school, the government provided for the school, but parents had to buy the uniform and had to buy the books. And without uniform, you couldn't go to school. Once the school is over, kids went in and whatnot. I went for the break at 10 o'clock, selling that stuff. And then I went back and then I pick up a case of beer, small beer bottle. And then I went to sell it on the beach until the afternoon school starts again. It's all closed. And while I was walking, I came to a man and he said, on that very same day, what's your name? I said, Paul. Why aren't you in school? Excuse me? Why aren't you in school? Well, my father said I need to work to help on the house, and he can't afford to buy me a uniform and that kind of stuff. Now, do you want to go to a school? I told the man, I told some crazy thing today. I said, if there is a God anywhere, I wish to go to a school somehow. He wrote down something, come to see me tomorrow. I said, what? Come to see me tomorrow in this place. Can you understand? I told him, I don't know how to read. That broke that man's heart. Are you good with directions? Yes, I am. Take the bus, go, ta ta ti ta ta ta. He told me where to go. I didn't even tell mother what I did. I withheld half of the profit I made that day. I hid it and gave my mom only half of what I made. And he gave me a very good tip that was the equivalent for a day's worth work. So I came home, handed mom what I did, just said thank you. Next morning I woke up, did the milk, and then the old man asked, aren't you going to do the ice cream? I said, just until 9-ish, I got to go somewhere. Does your mom knows that? Yes. I lied. I wasn't an unbeliever. I head out, catch the bus, went where that man told me to go. When I get in there, that man took me across the street. There was a tailor. He had already spoken to the guy. I walked in. The guy took all the measurement. The man did 2 sets of pants, 2 sets of shirt, something like this, with the school emblem on it. Then I had 2 sets of PA clothes, 2 sets of sneakers for the PE, and then I had 2 sets of regular shoes to go. Say, come back tomorrow. Needless to say, I was overjoyed. I did not know God as I know today, but yet he decided to spoil me. That man said, if you go through with straight A, you get it again next year. And that went on for 3 years. I was so hungry to learn that I went through kindergarten, first grade, and second grade in 1 year. Despite of the fact that I did not know my God as I know today, God decided to spoil me just because I cried for help. Now that you and I know the God of Israel, he is even more excited in spoiling you and I when we have the courage and the boldness to believe that he will do what he says he will. In Psalms 145, verse 19, I find this wonderful promise. And I'm challenging you. I dare you to believe. I dare you to trust. Read it with me. He fulfills people, can we read it? Shall we read it together? He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. God is willing to spoil you by granting you the desire of your heart. Reach out to somebody and say, God's going to spoil you today. Y'all better have something that you will present before God right now. You hear what I said? Yes. Y'all better have something to present before God right now. And I dare you to trust that he will do what he says in his word. Well, preacher, you know, it's not about me. It's about my family. Oh. All right. If your desire has to do with your family, let me show you this. Elder Ellis, may I have Proverbs chapter 3, verse 33. If he promised to fulfill the desires of those who fear you, do you fear God? Only two people. Then he's going to fulfill your desires. I mean, Proverbs 3:33 tells us, if the desires of your heart is to see your family, your household saved, here is the answer. Read it with me. The Lord curses on the house of the wicked, but dare to believe in God. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. So if the desire of your heart today, a God-fearful person, is that God visit your home, that God visit your household, I dare you to believe. Amen. You're not a wicked. If you would be a wicked, then you better be ready because there's some bad stuff coming over your household. Isn't that what he says here? The Lord curses is on the house of the wicked. But you ain't no wicked. You believe in Jesus. You are a God-fearing person. Is that right?
Amen.
So if you are a righteous, a God-fearing person, he promised that his blessings is going to be upon your home. Turn to your neighbor and say, I declare that your home is blessed by God. That's it. He fulfilled the desires, of those who fear him. Well, preacher, I really am patient, you bless my home, but it's not my home per se, it's my children. Poor kid. It's your children. Okay. I dare you to believe that God can take care of your children. He fulfilled the desires, right? So what about your children? Brother, give them Isaiah 54:13. Isaiah 54:13. If the desires of your heart is for God to mess up your children's life, it will come through. When I say messed up, I mean bring them in. All right? Read it with me. I challenge you right now. I dare you to believe on that. Are you with me so far? He fulfills the desires of the heart of those who fear Him. If the desire of your heart is for your children to come into the kingdom, He's saying to you right now, all your sons will be taught by the Lord. And great will be your children's peace. Tell your neighbor, your children are on their way into the kingdom. I'd rather have God get their attention. I'd rather have Jesus teaching them. Y'all that have children know how that goes, right? When mom and dad is going to say, oh, yeah, I know, mom, I know, dad, I know. You know what I'm talking about? But when God teaches them, ha-ha, the scales fall from their eyes. Huh? The scales fall from their eyes. So I dare you to be spoiled by God today. If my children would be all on the world, I would say, thank you, Jesus, for the blessing that my children are. Yes. And the even greater blessings that they will become. Yes. Are you with me here? Yes. You don't have a choice. You are blessed or you are blessed. Otherwise, you're blessed. You know, it's not up for discussion here. You know what? Watch this. Brother Ellis, can you give him this thing here? On the NLT. God is speaking to you this morning. I will teach. God is saying to you today, I, God, will teach all your children. It's a little crazy, still worth reading. May I have the backslider translation, brother? Watch this. All your children will have God. What a mentor for your children. All your children will have God for their teacher. What a mentor, huh? For your children. I dare you this morning to believe. I dare you this morning to allow yourself to be pampered and spoiled by your God. Elder Ellis, let's go back to Psalms 145:19. I want you to read it with me again. Every one of you, read it with me. He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. He hears their cry and saves them. I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell, get ready to have your heart's desire fulfilled. There's no other way around this. God wants to spoil you. He is the God who spoils us, his children. And you know, I don't need any daddy or no other daddy than the one up above. My earthly daddy could have never spoiled me this far as much as my heavenly dad does. Are you with me here? My earthly father could have never spoiled me as a man as much as my heavenly father does. You know, most of the time when I go to my father in heaven and I talk about something, he always gave me a blank check. Go for it. I've got your back. Now, I am using common sense. Are you with me here? He always says, go for it. I've got your back. He is the God who spoils his children. Could you please, just for a little moment, take off your eyes from the circumstances down here and place those beautiful eyes on your God? I dare you this morning to believe that scripture. I challenge you to believe that scripture. Try God for all that he is. Now, may I have the NLT here? When I read that scripture in that way, oh my Lord, it was like, oof. Read it with me. He grants the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry for help. Tell somebody, your desire shall be granted. Let's do something different here today. What is something that you desire to happen today? Just one, anything. Family unity. It shall be granted. He says he grants the desires of those who fear him. Amen? Sis, tell me one of your desires today. Just one. Anything. Wholeness in your body. It is granted. He grants the desires of those who fear him. Isn't that so? So, brother, tell me one thing. What you desire would happen to you today? It is granted in the name of Jesus. He grants the desires of those who fear him. To all of you here this morning, whatever it is that you just thought about, it is granted. Because he promised, he grants the desires of those who fear him. I'm curious now to see what the Backslider translation says about this. Oh, I love this. Thank you, Lord. He does what's best for those who fear him. Hears them call out and saves them. Turn around and tell your neighbor behind you, God is going to do what's best for you today. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
I'm going to read one more scripture today, and I'm going to call the day. And this is found in Psalms chapter 21, verse 2. The God who spoils you wants to grant you the desires of your heart today. One more verse, and I'm calling off the day. If I were you, I would be jumping on my chair right now. Can we read it together?
Yes.
You have granted him the desire of his heart and have not withheld the request of his lips. Come on, turn to somebody and say, the Lord has granted you the request of your lips. You, God wants to spoil you today. He is the spoiling God.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
There is a song that says, and life is worth living because he lives. Life is worth living because your God is willing to grant you the desire of your heart. I love this scripture here because it's on the past tense. Did you notice that? The verb? You know, it's on the past tense. In the head, in the mind of God, it already happened. Open your heart to believe. I dare you to believe. And have the request of your lips granted to you. Because it's not going to withheld. My Lord. Folks, you serve a great God. You serve a God that likes to spoil his kids. Please allow yourself to be spoiled, will you? Amen. If religion is hindering you from getting your portion of spoiling, get rid of the religion. Yeah. Well, in our family, we always did things this way. That's tradition. It's even worse. Tradition is dead religion. Religion is a masquerade of faith. It's fake faith. Get rid of it. God has granted the desire of your heart. So dare to believe. Dare to take him for his word. Yesterday, I went to see the doctor. Did y'all notice I don't have glasses on me today? We went to see the eye doctor. He says, your eyes are still good. They have to be good. What is wrong with you? What's wrong with you? They have to be good. So when they put all that junk on your eye that pinches and then it's green, yellow, red, whatever this stuff, all the junk that they put on to pinch and then they put that light all the way in. Good Lord have mercy. He said, I check the lenses of your eyes. They're perfect. All the blood vessels is good. The retina is perfect. He said, it's a little unusual because you said in here that 3 months ago your sugar level went to 400. Said, yes, sir. And the hemoglobin went to 16. He said, that should have busted some of the blood vessels on the eye. What do you do? I said, we did some prayer. We changed the eating habits. And I start exercising at least twice a week. Me and my wife, we go to the gym. And how is the sugar now? Running between 64 and 124. Perfect. So he says, despite of the fact that the sugar was that high, the blood vessels were not destroyed. God has granted the desires of our hearts. So just for fun, I decided not to use any glass today. And I read for my papers without reading, using glasses. I'm wrapping up now by telling you this. Would you please, do yourself a favor and do God a favor. Give God the opportunity to spoil you, will you? How do I do that? Just believe that it's good to do what he says. Amen. Give him to work with. Amen. If God promised to bless your home, walk out of this door and say, my home is blessed. My home is blessed. If your children are driving you nuts, thank you, my Lord, for becoming their teacher. Do it, Lord. Do it like you do it. And move out. What do you mean move out? If God decides to whip them up, the government can't go against God. There's no government that will lock him up. So if God decides to discipline them, back off. Get out. Mom! Some help here? Sorry, son. Sorry, daughter. You've been mentored. What a mentor. Let God do it. Do yourself a favor. Let God spoil you today. Will you? May the God of Israel grant you a big blessing today. Huh? Elder Ellis, can you give me the New Living Translation here? I'm just curious. I'm kind of itching. For you have given him his heart desire. You have withheld. You have withheld. Did you get the point? You have withheld nothing.
He requested.
He requested. Tell somebody, God's not holding back on you. You heard what I said? God's not holding anything back on you. Now, I wonder what the Backslider translation says. My Lord. It can't get better than this. Is that right? You gave him. What is it that exactly that you want?
The reconciliation of my brother and nephew.
You've got
Amen.
It. You gave her exactly Amen. What you wanted. Amen?
Amen?
We're going to wrap up by you turning to your neighbor. God has given you today exactly what you want. Tell your neighbor. He didn't hold back. You've got it. In Jesus' name. God bless you.
Amen.